A few years before his bar mitzvah, a few months before his bar mitzvah, he goes to his mother and he says to her, I don't want to just say my drosha. I want to speak about where we come from. Where do we come from? So the mother tells him, we come from Choshev Bobas, Choshev Zedas. She reckons out a few names. I want to go further back. Much further back. So we come from the Ovos HaKadoshim. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, V'moy, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. So where did it all start? Where did I really come from? Where did it all start? She said to him, it started with Adam HaRishon, Yitzir Kapov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, the creator. He goes, wow. Bobas and Zedas, Ovos HaKadoshim, Adam HaRishon, Yitzir Kapov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very excited. A few days later he goes to his father and he asks his father the same question. The father had studied in a very prestigious university, was influenced by their way of thinking. He says to his father, where do I come from? Chimpanzees? Is that where it started? Further back, the monkeys. Before that, the primates. Is that where it started? How did it all begin? Where's the beginning? The father says there was a bit of gas, a bit of bacteria, there was an explosion. He goes back to his mother, he says, Mama, I'm all confused. You tell me we come from Heilige Bubas and Zedas, Ovos HaKadoshim, Adam HaRishon, Yitzir Kapov HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Daddy tells me chimpanzees, monkeys, primates, some bacteria and gas. I'm all confused, what do I say? The mother says to him, don't be confused, it's very simple. I was speaking about my side of the family. Your father speaks about his side of the family. Rabbi Yehuda writes that we've got to remind ourselves continuously where we come from. Where do we come from? It's just over Pesach, I was thinking a thought. Please tell me, someone afterwards, if I'm wrong, that we all have two sets of grandparents, four sets of great-grandparents, eight sets of great-great-grandparents. Let's say every 100 years there's two generations. It's probably more than that. In 1,000 years there's 20 generations. So it works out, we've got, if you work it out on a paper, we've got over 1 million grandparents 1,000 years ago. And 2,000 years ago, it comes to over 1 billion. I'm not sure if there were so many people in the world 2,000 years ago, which means that people married their distant cousins. So obviously, it overlaps many, many times. But it comes out, we learn a Gemara, we learn Mishnayos, we are probably all descendants from most of the Tanoim and Amoraim al Picheshbon. We're descendant from Nevi'im, a long line. Whenever we hear about the tzaddikim of 1,000 years ago, of 2,000 years ago, we are probably descendant from them. Please let me know if anybody thinks that's not right, this. I once heard a story, somebody once said he was flying in an aeroplane, and every quarter of an hour he had some grandchildren on the flight that came to ask him if he needs anything, if he's alright. And the guy next to him was very impressed how the grandchildren were constantly trying to look after the grandfather, asking him how he is. So he said to the Eid, I don't understand. If my children will be on the flight, they wouldn't want to know me. They wouldn't come and ask me how I am. They wouldn't want to even know me. And your grandchildren are coming to you the whole time, asking how you are, looking after you. So he said to them, the same point. You believe you come from a monkey, from a chimpanzee, from a primate, from some gas and bacteria. So the further away from the monkeys that they feel they are, the better they feel. They look at you as being closer to the monkeys. So I believe I come from Adam Rishon, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Tzadikim, closer to Matan Torah. So the grandchildren feel I'm a link to the past, to such an important, prestigious past. That's why they keep in contact with me. We're now in the Yumei HaSfira. The Pasuk next week, Sedra writes, we say it every day after Sfira, Usfatim lachem imochas haShabbos, we count, miyoyim haviachem es oyma atnufa, sheva Shabbos es tmim es tiyena, ad mimochas haShabbos tishruchem ishim yoyim, vikraftem mincha chadosh el Hashem. The Torah tells us we count the oyma from the korban oyma until the korban of the shtei alechem. It's very strange. Why couldn't the Torah tell us that we count the oyma from Pesach to Shavuos? It's called Sfiras Oyma. It's connected to the Korban Oyma. Why do we count? Why is the Torah telling us to count from the Korban Oyma to the Korban of the Shtei Alechem? The Sforim explain that the days before Matan Torah are a preparation for Matan Torah. Derech Eretz Kod Mala Torah. And that's why the Sforim write, the minig is to say Pirk Ovis. Some Rishonim write, you only say Pirk Ovis from Pesach to Shavuos. The reason why we read Pirk Ovis is because Pirk Ovis is all about Midas, about Derech Eretz. And therefore, that's the preparation for Matan Torah. Derech Eretz Kod Mala Torah. Rabbeinu Yoina writes that Eina Torah Shechenes, Torah does not reside in a person who doesn't work on their Midas, who hasn't worked to have good Midas Tovis. Says the Maral, the Korban Oyma is a Korban which was bought from Soirim, barley. The Shtei Alechem was a Korban bought from flour. Says the Maral, barley is a Machal Behema. The Gemara says the Soita brings a Korban made out of barley because she acted like an animal. Barley is a Machal Behema, it's a food you give to animals. She acted like an animal, so her korban is made out of animal feed. Flour is human feed. Says the Maral that the Torah is telling us you count from the korban oyma to the korban of the shtei alechem to tell us a message. We're counting these 49 days. We're supposed to transform ourselves in these 49 days from an animal into a human being. From the Korban Oyma to the Korban of Shtei Alechem. Rabbi Chanan teaches a pasuk, Ka'ayo pere odom yevoled. Like a wild animal, the human being is born. I think the simple translation of the pasuk means a person is born without any clothes on like a wild animal. Rabbi Chanan writes, there's a deeper meaning in the pasuk, Ka'ayo pere odom yevoled. He says, Al Pi the Zohar Kodesh, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nasa Odom, let us make man, he spoke to the entire Bria, to everything that had been created until that point, and said, let's each one of us give a bit of our koyach to create the human being. We have, in the animal kingdom, all types of animals with different types of midas. I heard something very interesting a week ago. Someone told me a very fascinating thing. All the kosher animals have the horns in which they defend themselves or they have to attack on the head. The treif animals, they attack with their teeth. They have two teeth, and even an elephant that has two tusks, it's below his eyes. He said something very interesting. He said to me, maybe it's because... Rhinoceros?
No.
Oh. No. He's got his two teeth. Maybe he attacks with his teeth. Okay, I'll take...
It's not a horn, it's solidified hair.
He thinks it's not a horn, but he doesn't attack with it. It's solidified hair. He attacks with his mouth. Okay, I'm not sure. But he said, interesting idea. He said, which reminds me of my grandfather, Zechino Brocha, Mr. Zucker. He said to me that when he was in the British Army, he was drafted to the British Army, Second World War. So he said to me that when it came to target practice with a gun, he managed to be the best in the platoon. But when they practice on dummies, to come up behind a dummy and stab the heart of the dummy with a knife, even a dummy couldn't do. He just couldn't do it. A Yid can't do that. He couldn't stab even a dummy with a knife. To shoot with a gun is less, is not, is easier than to stab someone with a knife. He says the kosher animals, when they have to attack to defend themselves, they can't see all the gory details.
Gory.
What's that? Sorry,
it's suitable for gory details.
Gory details. Gore, yes. That's a pun. Very, thank you. Very, thank you. You couldn't resist that. Yeah, right. When he gores, he couldn't write that. They don't want to see all the gory details. So he puts his head down. Interesting. Because a kosher animal's got an angel kite. We don't eat certain animals, we stay tak and rambam, because they've got midas roas, and they will affect us if we eat them. The midas roas, they've got midvach zorius, they don't mind seeing the gory details when they're attacking another animal. Akshpohu said, says the Zohar Kodesh, to every koyach in the Bria, let us make the human being. So the human being is the wildest animal on earth. He's got every midah of every animal. Says Rabbi Chanan, the avoid of a human being is ka'ayo pera, a person is born like a wild animal. His avoid is to make sure that odom yivoled, out of that wild animal comes a human being. That's the avoid of the meisfira, to transform ourselves from an animal to a human being. So as we said earlier, we don't come from the primates, the chimpanzees or the monkeys, or from some gas or bacteria. We come from the Ovos HaKadoshim, from Adam Rishon, it's a kapha for Shalach Kodesh Bohu. We come from Adam Rishon. But when we're born, we start off with Midas Rois like an animal. And the avoid is to transform ourselves into human being. The Sefer Mitzvah Salvavus writes that the Yesoid of perfecting our relationship with other people, of perfecting our Midas, writes the Mitzvah Salvavus, is by judging people favorably. He says that is the Yesoid of Chofetz Chaim. He also writes the same point. The Yesoid of behaving like a human being, not like an animal, is to look at other people in a favorable light, judge their actions favorably. In this week's Sedra, we have the Pasuk, B'tzedek tishpo et amisecho. Rashi brings in the Torah's Kohanim, Hevedonis kol adam lekafschus. Hevedonis chaveri lekafschus. The Pasuk is speaking about a judge, a dayan. A dayan in a bezdin. He's going to make sure, but Tzedek Tishpet HaMisech, he's going to judge with the framework of the law. He's going to investigate the matter and find out the emes. He's going to judge in a correct way. The Svarim writes, what's it said? Tzedek means justice. The Svarim writes that the Torah's Meramas, the mitzvah of being Don Lekafsos in this posuk, to teach us that we also judges the whole time. One of the Svarim writes, it's a mitzvah tmidi. The whole day we're judging other people. We're interacting with people the whole day. Friends, family, business associates, employees, employers. We're interacting with people the whole way, the whole day. The whole day we are speaking to people, people are speaking to us. Did they mean this? Did they mean that? Did they mean to hurt me? Didn't they mean to hurt me? Why are they doing this? Why is that person doing this? This is a mitzvah tmidis. We are judging the whole day other people. The Svarim writes, just like we understand and we hope that a Bezdin judges B'tzedek righteously, judging correctly when we're not part of a Bezdin, Ben Odom Lachaveiro, a correct judgment is a favorable judgment. Judge the other person favorably. That's the correct judgment of an individual. And the Torah puts in the same posture, just like we understand the Bezdin's going to judge justly within the law and investigate the matter properly. A Bezdin can't be done in Kafsus. Bezdin's got to find out the bare facts of the matter. So too, our judging justly, correctly, is judging favorably. That's the mitzvah of being done lekafschus. It's a mitzvah tmidis, a mitzvah which is continuous, and the Sefer Mitzvah of Avos writes, this is the makoir of all the averis on the chaveri. The Chofetz Chaim writes as well, I think, Lashon Hara, Rechilus, all the averis on the chaveri start from looking badly at other people. If we're done lekafschus, that enables us to perfect all our midas on the chaveri, that enables us to change from an animal into a human being. Say a story, I said, I think it's Tovshin Samaches, almost 10 years ago, so maybe I don't remember the story, those who were here then. I had a personal story I like saying over. As a bocha, I was once in Eretz Yisrael for Sukkos, and I've got an uncle living in Tzvas, he's still there. And I went to him for a weekend after Sukkos, and I decided I wanted to walk to Amuka, to hike to Amuka from Tzvas. And the people I was with weren't very happy about the idea. So I said, I'll dump the sea, you can get up early in the time. You get up, I'll be back. So I took an altered survey map and I hiked myself to Amuka. I took 2 liters of water. I didn't realize how hot it gets so quickly. And already halfway, I'd already finished the water. And I was hoping, I thought I'll probably find a lift back from Amuka. I was there a few months ago and the place is teeming with people selling stuff and there's coaches there. In those days, it was quite quiet. But I thought, you Ben Azmanim, I'll find a lift back. And I got to Amuka, there was nobody there. I said, my tilim. And I waited. I was very thirsty and I didn't have the courage to walk back. Amuka's quite low, it's a big mountain to walk back. And after about half an hour waiting, I saw a car coming down this road that zigzags down into Amuka. And as I got closer, I saw, you're going to laugh, it was a 740 Volvo. You know, buy them at £500 on Auto Trader probably today. But in those times, in Eretz Yisrael, it was a very choshva car. The ministers had that car. There were 450% tax on cars above 2 liters in those days. Maybe still that, I don't know. And I think it cost then, 30 years ago, $100,000, a 740 Volvo. It was a very expensive car. You came up, didn't see them in Eretz Yisrael. I thought it must be a very rich man. You know how a young boy looks? A very rich man. He's coming down to Davin at Amuka. He parked his car, and the fella gets out. He looked quite young, and he walks to the cave. He says some kapitlach tilim. When he's finished saying the tilim, I go out to him and ask, is it possible to give me a lift back to Tzfas if you're going in that direction? He says to me, I'm actually going back to Tzfas, and there's no problem, you can have a lift. I remember getting in the car, the air conditioning, the powerful air conditioning started cooling me down. And as we start driving up that road that zigzags, the fella says to me, it'll cost you 3 shekel. That's what he says to me. It'll cost you 3 shekel. It's about, I think, £2 or £3 then. It might become £2 or £3 soon. But that's what it was then. And, you know, my first thought, what a rotter. He needs my 3 shekels. He's driving a car worth $100,000. What does he mean my 3 shekels for? I really was upset. And I thought, you know, but I didn't say anything, Baruch Hashem. I took out 3 shekels. He asked me where to put it. I asked him where to put it. So he says, put it in the dashboard. There's a dashboard, a little bit of a ledge. And I put it in the ledge. I noticed there were lots of shkolim and 10 shkolim and 5 shkolim. I thought, oh, this fellow, he gives this and he chaps around a bit of geld at the same time. Anyhow. And then he says to me a few seconds later, he goes, ha, he says to me, you think I'm a rich man, eh? So I said, yeah, you don't see many people driving such a car. He said, I'll tell you my story, he says. I was in the army, and I was a sapper. I used to clear minefields. And about 7-8 months ago, we cleared a minefield in formation, and the officer wasn't watching properly, and the formation wasn't the way it should have been, and we weren't going exactly straight, and I trod on a mine, and I had one of my feet blown off. And I couldn't believe it. He showed me, he lifted up his trouser leg. I saw he had a wooden leg. And I remembered that he was limping a little bit when he walked towards the caver. He said to me he was in the hospital for 6 months because there were other injuries as well. And he's been discharged from the army. As compensation, they've given him the car. The army doesn't pay the tax. They've given him the car as compensation. Then he says to me in Ivrit, ha, you can't eat a car. He said, I've got no pandas, I can't work, I'm still weak. And the only way I earn a little bit of money a week, I'd go around to bus stops and I'd go around and see people hitching and offer them a lift for payments. So I'm not a rich man. On the contrary, I'm a very poor man. That's what he said to me. I remember I felt so bad. The Sforim writes, when you see something that doesn't make sense, you've got to think of even a bizarre explanation. That is our obligation, to think of a bizarre explanation why this person did it. However crazy it might sound, because it might be the real explanation. That is our obligation. That's how we're supposed to judge. Like a judge has to judge within the framework of Shulchan Aruch, we've got an obligation to think of the most bizarre explanation and accept that is the reason why this person did this. That's the reason why the person did this to me. It's very well known, the Gemara in Shabbos, but the Gemara writes a number of stories, fascinating stories. Everybody knows the first story, the other stories as well in this Gemara. The Gemara says, Adon chaver lekavschus, don en ois lekavschus. If you judge others lekavschus, Akshmochu judges you lekavschus. The Gemara brings a famous story. Let me say it quickly. I'm sure everybody knows the story. How a person who was employed for 3 years by a rich man in Galil, in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, he came Erev Yom Kippur, he asked his employer for wages, and the employer said to him, I've got no money, give me payers, I've got no payers, give me behemoths, I've got no behemoths, give me karaka, I've got no karaka, give me bedding, I've got no bedding. And the employee left the employer's house and went back home with no money. After Yom Tov, after Sukkot, the rich man took a bag of gold and three animals laden with food, drink, and presents, and he went to his employee. Now, it's very clear in the Gemara the employee didn't know why the rich man was passing by his house. But it's clear from the Gemara that he welcomed the rich man into his house. I think had it been me, I would have said, you're the last person I want to see. I would have let him near my house. Right? I worked for you 3 years and you never pay me. I know you're one of the richest people in Eretz Yisrael. But the Gemara is very clear that he invited him in to give him some food and drink. He's a traveler. Mitzvah nozorach, he invited him in. The Gemara says, only after he had eaten and drunk, then he paid him his wages. Fascinating Baal Madrega. And he asked him, what did you think when I say I've got no money? Well, maybe you got a cheap deal, you used all your cash. When I've got no pay, what did you think? Maybe I hadn't taken Trumosomitis, they weren't ready to give. When I've got no behemoths, what did you think? Maybe they also, I've got no kaka, what did you think? Maybe they hired out. They rented out. When I've got no bedding, what did you think? I thought maybe you were magdish all your possessions to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore you couldn't give me anything. He said to him, I promise you that's what happened. Kol hedarti kol nechsi, I was magdish all my nechosim, because Hurkanus, my son, who didn't want to learn Torah, I didn't want him to inherit me. It's the moment of anger, I said, you're not learning Torah, you're not going to inherit me. I was magdish all my nechosim to the Beis HaMikdash. Then I realized I'd acted in haste, and it wasn't clever what I did. I went to the Beis Din and I was matineder. And he said to this person, just like you judge me favorably, Akash Baruch Hu judge you favorably. The Gemara brings very many, many stories, very interesting stories, worth looking at, very relevant to today's world. The Gemara brings many stories, and each time the Gemara says, just like you judge me favorably, Akash Baruch Hu judge you favorably. And the question is obvious, what do you mean Akash Baruch Hu should judge us favorably? Akash Baruch Hu knows what we're thinking, he knows our motives, he knows our reasons why we're doing things. When we see another person doing something, we have to think. Sorry?
Yeah, at least
Shoghi
rather than
Major,
at least.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, Akshvokha knows that, that's right. Yeah. Akshvokha knows our thoughts, he knows our motives, he knows exactly why we're doing things. So what's pshat that if we judge people like us, Akshvokha will judge us like us? What does it mean? What does it mean? Akshvokha knows our motives, not shy if Akshvokha don't like us. In Pasuk state, ki odom ein tzadik ba'aretz asher ya'aseh tov le'echta. There's no such thing as a person who never sins. Nefesh HaChaim, the Al Shechas, we do have people who don't sin. What does the Pasuk mean? Nefesh HaChaim explains that people, even if they do only mitzvahs, but the mitzvahs aren't always perfect. Ki odom ein tzadik ba'aretz asher ya'aseh tov le'echta. We don't find people who do good, and there's no sin in the good that they do. Sometimes mitzvahs are done because people are watching me, or I'm doing because everybody else is doing it, or I'm doing it out of habit. Mitzvah noshma lemuda. Not every mitzvah is perfectly done. Famous story: a person came to Chofetz Chaim. Rebbe, look at my beautiful esrog. He had a beautiful esrog. In those days, it was hard to get a beautiful esrog. Chofetz Chaim Baruch Kotcher said to this person, very famous story, is the money with which you purchase the esrog as kosher as the esrog? Chofetz Chaim was saying, it's all very nice, you've got a beautiful esrog, but if you want the mitzvah to be a perfect mitzvah, every penny that was used to buy that esrog has to also be perfectly honestly earned. If it's not honestly earned, then the mitzvah is not the perfect mitzvah. I heard from Matzion Solomon Zangazunt, he said, when he was a youngster, and Gates said, there was a red flu that swept through England. It wasn't like swine flu. It was a flu, it wasn't so dangerous, but people became bedridden with high temperature for 3-4 days, and then in a few matter of hours, it suddenly disappeared. He said, once Erev Rosh Hashanah, this flu, when it swept through England, it reached Gates at Erev Rosh Hashanah. That Rosh Hashanah was just about a minion in the shul. Everybody was in bed. Everybody had to daven at home. Shabbos Shuvah, the whole town was better, and the shul was packed with everyone to listen to the Gates of the Rav's Shabbos Shuvah Drosha. Rav Naftali Shakovitsky said to the Kehillah, we daven every in shul, so much devotion, we shokel, we daven, we close our eyes, we lift our hands up, we clap, we daven gewaldig. He says, you should all know, make a cheshbon on nefesh, the way you davened this year in your pajamas, in your bedroom, that is close to the reality how you daven every year. Okay, of course, they weren't feeling well, they were feeling a bit weaker. But he just pointed out a very good point. Like, maybe we sometimes feel, when we're travelling, we're davening on our own, could be sometimes, it's not always exactly the same as the way we daven in shul. He's saying the way you davened in your pyjamas, this Rosh Hashanah, that is an indication of where you're up to in your madrega and tefillah. A person does mitzvahs. Even a person does only mitzvahs, the mitzvahs aren't always perfect. The famous Gemara in Menachos Gemara brings a story, David HaMelech was going to the bathhouse. Strange Gemara, he saw his Orem and HaMitzvahs, he's naked for mitzvahs. He's got no tefillin, he's got no fittis on. So after Gemara, he reminded himself of his Bris Mila. He was Masameach, Simcha Gedoyla, and he made a Kapitel Tilim. Which Kapitel is it? Shminis, I think. Shminis. He made a Kapitel Tilim. He was Masameach, Simcha Gedoyla. What does it mean? He went to the bathhouse, he had no mitzvahs on him, he remembered the Mila. Chasam Sofer explains, he went to the bathhouse, he went to the mikveh to tov, he went to be mefashmash, mamaisav, to examine his ways. That's what he was doing. And he felt, lefi madrigosai, all the mitzvahs he's done, they're not perfect. They're not done bishleimus. He felt he was orim in our mitzvahs. Then he reminded himself of the mila. The mila is a mitzvah, which the Svarim write, a person's got a kiyum mitzvah his whole life, when he's got a bris mila. He reminds himself of the mila. A meal is a mitzvah which is done to him, which is done without any ulterior motives, without any pneus, without any negias. A person's got a mitzvah's meal, that's the perfect mitzvah. He's 8 days old, nobody asks him, wants it or not. That's done with no negias whatsoever. That's why we say, Kishem Shnichnas Lebris, Keni Kondos Latorah Chubim Masam Tovim. Like you go into the bris, and you do, the mitzvah's being done without any ulterior motives, Keni Kondos Latorah Chubim Masam Tovim. Because it's hard to have a perfect mitzvah. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, a gewaltige Sach. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says that when Akshpochu looks at us, if he scrutinizes us, he won't be able to tick all the boxes, or maybe none of the boxes. We put on tefillin, is there proper kavona? Is there hesach hadas? Is there taras aguf? Tzitzis? Tefillah? All our mitzvahs, if we're scrutinized, they can be pulled apart and shown that they're not done in the madrega we're supposed to be doing it. It's done out of habit. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu scrutinizes us, he can pull apart our mitzvahs. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, when we judge other people favorably, don in oisel lekafschus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us from the distance, doesn't scrutinize us, doesn't examine exactly our motives. He ticks all the boxes. Gewaltiger pshat in the Gemara. When we judge people favorably, besides being mekayim the mitzvah, betzedek tshvuta misecha, we're gaining a tremendous gain. That all the mitzvahs we do, even they're not done perfectly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu look at them as if they've been done perfectly. Don in oisel lekafschus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't scrutinize us, he won't pull us apart, he won't contradict our actions. He'll look at us in a favorable way, meaning he knows our motives, if he wants, he knows our motives, but he won't look what's going on in our mind, why we do the mitzvah, he'll just look at the action. He'll be don us lekafschus. Person's got a gewaltige gain by judging people the kafskos. Besides what we said beforehand, it's the makor for all the other averas, but odm lachaveroi. This helps a person change from an animal into a human being. But this is a tremendous benefit. A person gets much more reward in the next world. Much more reward. I had a moedig gemeiser from the Bchai Shmal, the Rav in London. It's a moedig gemeiser. Which brings out another point to me, don le kafskos. He told me that when he started off after Shasna, he was teaching in Yisod HaTorah. He was getting paid £1 an hour, maybe it was less than that, I don't remember. I think it was £1 an hour. And after a few months, he realized it wasn't really enough. There was no minimum wage in those days. £1 was worth more than it is today, but that's what he was getting paid. But he realized he couldn't manage on £1 an hour. He went to Shmelka Pinter Zecharin of Roch, and he asked for a rise for £1.20. Shmelka told him the school's struggling. We cannot pay the employees, the teachers more, the rabbis more than £1 an hour. I'm very, very sorry. You're doing a gewaltige job. We can't pay you anymore. We can't give you a rise. And a few more months went by and he felt he was difficult. And he found himself a job in Hasmonean in Hendon, near Golden Screen. And they were offering him £1.50 an hour, big difference. And they offered also to pay his bus fares from Stamford to Golden Screen. And he was very sorry. He had to leave the school and he took a new job in Hasmonean. A few months later, he met a friend of his and moved to Stamford Hill, and he's schmoozing to him, and the friend told him he's got a very good job in Sotera teaching Gemara, and During the conversation, the friend said to him, he's getting paid £2 an hour. And he got a shock of his life. He didn't say anything, but he decided to pay Rav Shmuel Carpenter a visit. He went to Rav Shmuel Carpenter, and he asked him, what's going on? Rav Shmuel goes, I'm so happy you came. I'm so happy you came. I'll tell you the story. His father has got a business. He doesn't want his son yet to go in the business. He wants still to be in a good framework, teach in a school, teach Gemara. But he knew his son wouldn't be prepared to work in the school on a small wage and have to live tight. So the father said to me, Rav Shmuel, do me a favor, employ my son. You pay him £1 and I'll pay him £1. I want him to feel good that he's earning the money. Don't ever tell him the money's coming from me. That's what Shmuelka said. So, and he said, don't worry, you won't have to let out any money. I'll give you the money before the day that you pay your wages. And Shmuelka said, and that's what happens. Every week he brings me the money, and I pay £2 an hour. Really, I'm paying him £1 an hour. The Welt is a Vertel. Don't judge your friend until you're in his position. Which simply means, your friend behaves in a way which you don't understand, or he does something to you don't understand, don't judge him. If you're in his position, you know what pressures he's got at home, you know what pressures he's got in business, you don't know his circumstances. Don't judge your friend till you're in his circumstances, and you can't be in his circumstances. Don't judge him, you don't know what pressures he's under. The Welt says a Vettel, Al Todnes Chavech Asher Tegielim Koimoy. Don't judge him till you reach his place. Go around to him, discuss it with him. Ask him. Reb Chaim, he went to Reb Shmuel Carpenter. It was all clarified. If you can't work out a way of being don lekaf schus, then go and discuss it with them. Go and discuss it with them. Speak to them and might be able to clarify the matter. This is a gewaltiger oifen to be don lekaf schus when you find it difficult. Al todnes chavach atshet tegilim koim until he reaches his house. Reach his house. You'll be able to go to him. Discuss with him, he might be able to clarify it for you. There's another message, a recent story, Ingeman told me that he was learning at Barab Svi Kaplan in Shalim. He needed more panosa. So he saw a note up on the wall. There was a boch from America, had a various, not sure exactly, maybe an illness or something, he needed a special diet. And the only thing he was allowed to eat was good fruit. There's a notice there, Spock was learning stark, that they want to employ someone to go and buy very good fruit, cut up nicely and make it nicely presentable. A job. Grace. Once or twice a day to cut up this fruit, make it nice, presentable, and bring it to the yeshiva, that this boy can have his dinner or supper. Ingeman thought, my wife won't mind doing that. And he contacted the father in America. He said, explained how I'll do it. He'll send the money to buy all the fruits, the nice fruits. He should buy the best fruits. And they offered to pay a certain amount of money a week. That was her job. And he said to me, his wife went, that's what the father told, to shops not in the regular area, to buy really good fruit and vegetable fruit. Really expensive fruit you don't normally buy in a regular shop. And this went on for a few weeks. And she once heard someone say, loud enough for her to hear, look at these youngsters. They're being supported for Chutz Laaretz. Look how they're spending their parents' money. That's what he said to me. True story. That's what he said to me. Yeah, you know, a person can see, what's going on? You're buying this expensive food, which most people don't usually buy. What's going on here? We've got an obligation to think of the most bizarre explanation. And Itaka, who would have dreamt that this lady is buying fruit for somebody in America? It's a job to buy this fruit, cut them up, and give them over to this boy for his food. That's the chi of Don Lekafskus. It's interesting. The Targum writes, Uli Yishra Leiv Simcha. What does it mean? Oizra La Tzadik, Uli Yishra Leiv Simcha. What does it mean, Uli Yishra Leiv Simcha? What does it mean, Elisha Leiv Simcha? What does it mean, Elisha Leiv Simcha? The Targum writes, Ula Teritze Libo Simcha. The Mefarshim explained Pshat in the Targum. Teritze Leiv, people who find answers in their heart. To answer other people's actions, they've got a Simcha. What destroys most people's happiness in life what eats away their happiness, what upsets them, is when they're thinking, why did that person do that to me? This can be friends, family, close family, an employer, an employee. We're surrounded by people the whole day. And what gets at us so often, what upsets us, is why did they put that person do that to me? Why is he doing that? So the Sforim, the Targum means the Teritze Libo, a person who's got answers in his heart. When he's got answers, he's got a heart full of answers. He always knows how to find answers to explain other people's actions. Or the Teritze Libo Simcha. That person will find Simcha in his life. Or Zoru Al Tzadik. A tzaddik, a person who tries to behave in a correct way, he looks for the oil, that light that's hidden. He looks for the explanation of other people's actions. And we've got to know that the answer to other people's actions can be so far-fetched. I'll tell you another personal story. In Yeshiva, we don't allow mobiles. I once read a book had a mobile. I remember it was before Shavuos. I told him, listen here, bring the mobile around to me. And I'll give it back to you at the end of the month. I think I offered to buy off him. He said, Feb Sadie will do that. I was going away that Shavuos. And he gave it to me just before Shavuos. I took it home. Some reason I put it on. There's no bars, no reception. So I opened up and the SIM card wasn't there. I thought, what a cheek. What a chutzpah, he's giving me the phone without the SIM card. What a shtick. I mean, I think I'm daft. I'm going. Yeah, so I was going to London that Shavuos. So I phoned him up, I got hold of him. I said, what's going on here? He gave me the phone without a SIM card. He said, of course there's a SIM card inside. I said, there wasn't. I know where to look for a SIM card. Maybe nowadays the phones are more complicated. A very simple phone. I know it. I couldn't find a SIM card. He says, I don't understand. It must have fallen out. I said, don't judge him, cop. The SIM card doesn't fall out of a phone. Yeah, it's usually under the battery. It can't fall out of a phone. Listen dear, I'm on the way to London. Take the SIM card, put it in an envelope, post it through my door. When I come back, I want to see the SIM card in my house. That's what I said to him. Anyhow, I came back after Yontem, after Shavuos. I expected to see the envelope with the SIM card. There was no envelope with no SIM card. I thought about a muzzle. I decided I'm going to give it a miss. I'm not going to speak about it. Just let the matter drop. And I never said anything to him. And I carried on as normal. But it bothered me very much. It's a true story. 2 weeks later, I was in Jewish Hayat Chasna. And the father of this boy comes over to me. And he says to me, have you got my son's phone? I said, yes. He said, how do you know? He said, my son told me they gave you his phone. He says, we do realize that you notice there's no SIM card inside it. I said, I did notice. I don't understand what's shut. So I'll tell you what happened. I didn't know my son had a phone. I didn't know he had a phone. He never told me. And when I found out, I realized he had a phone, I wanted to make sure that he wasn't doing anything wrong with the phone. So when he didn't take it to Shiva one day, so I took out the SIM card. I thought, I'll look what's going on, what he's doing with it, and after I put it back. So when I came to put it back, the phone had gone. The boy had gone back home, taken the phone without putting it on, and brought it around to my house. When he said that it must have fallen out, he was saying in all innocence, he couldn't understand why the SIM card wasn't that phone. A true story. We've got to work on thinking of, I would never have dreamt of such an explanation. But that's the obligation. We've got to think of these explanations. We've got to think of the most bizarre explanation, which is really so statistically impossible, because that might be the reality. That's our obligation. That's the Chiyuv Midon L'Kafzkus. This is the soid of all the mitzvot of Chaveiro. That's how we transform ourselves from the behemoth to Adam. We've got to make sure in these days coming up to Shavuos, we're working on transforming ourselves ka'ay or pera from a wild animal, Adam Yavod, to make sure a human being comes out of it.
I say about the Gemara, he said, my son Horkenes doesn't want to learn Torah. Wasn't that at least Afak Lashon Hara? How could he say it in the Rakesh? Yeah, definitely could he say that. Unless it was a Davar Mephora, someone would know that like Kel, maybe.
Oh my God,
maybe it was a Davar Mephora. Yeah, I always thought it was a Davar Mephora.